that wanted it. And we pray now that you would, by your Spirit, come and take that word and make it a blessing to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got some slides which hopefully are going to come up. So that's the theme. If we go to the second slide, a primary school art class. Freddie was really concentrating over his work. The teacher looked, and the page was full of swirly patterns, abstract, but a rich mix of colours. "Wow, Freddie," she said, "what have you drawn?" "Can't you see?" he said, "it's God." "But nobody knows what God looks like, Freddie." Freddie sighed, gave her a look, and said, "Well, they do now." This is their final sermon, I think, in your series on God's nature. And maybe you've not heard all of them. Maybe this is the first one. I came earlier in the series, so I did actually hear one of them. And I hope that they have deepened your appreciation of God. And maybe some of the themes have surprised you. And that could be true today as we look at the joy of God. Really, the joy of God? I think a lot of people often think of God as rather dour. And sometimes that's because they've seen God's followers, the church. Someone said once, too many Christians go to church looking as though they're going to the dentist and come out looking like they've been. You always have to wait for the punchline. But our Bible reading today says that joy is at the heart of the nature of God. Zephaniah 3:17, you may have been thinking, Zephyr what? You may be thinking, where's that in the Bible? Well, you look it up later. It's towards the end of the first half. It's virtually an injury time. The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. So a direct question as we begin, just to ponder, not to answer out loud. Do you believe that God rejoices in you? That God rejoices over you with singing, even? Can you conceive that that is how God sees you and feels about you? Hold on to that question and to your heart's response as you heard it, as you're thinking, yes, no, or maybe, whatever was going through your mind at that moment. Because my task this morning is to demonstrate that this is precisely God's attitude to us. Even when we're unaware, even when we're uninterested, even perhaps when we've been hostile to God at different points in our lives. And it comes because it comes out of God's nature, which is joy. That's why God rejoices over you. And I take encouragement from something that the Archbishop of York, Stephen, said at our conference just a few weeks ago. I wrote down the quote because I thought this will be handy for this morning. You know, you're sort of ding, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get this one. A compelling, joyful vision of what it means to be a follower of Christ needs to be spoken into our nation. That was really interesting that he said that. We need a joyful message for our nation. So if we take our next slide, the God who rejoices in creation. If you go right back to the beginning of the Bible and Genesis 1, the creation story, you get that repeated refrain five times. And it was good. God delights in all that he has made. Why? Well, actually, because creation brings God glory. Creation expresses God's wisdom and his power. The Psalms record again and again God's joy. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, for example. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I'm not quite sure what I understand about all of that, about creation and the story and everything else. And I've wrestled with that a lot because my background, my first degree, was as a scientist. But I do believe that God is the source of all there is, maybe not in a literal 7 days, 6,000 years ago kind of a way. But as a scientist, I would say to you, there is way too much order in physics and biology and indeed even in chemistry for this just to be chance. The order and the beauty and the interconnectedness cries out for a creator by whatever mechanism it all unfolded. And it seems to me that many of us rejoiced over creation in lockdown. That's why there are the slide pictures, very different ones. Lockdown one coincided with spring, so there was new life everywhere. And we had time to savour its beauty, didn't we? Because we weren't actually allowed to do anything else. We couldn't go very far, but we could get outside, and actually seeing the wonder of creation kept us sane, a lot of us, I think. Returning to Genesis, what is God's comment on human beings, male and female? God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. I wonder some earlier whether you thought, five times, surely it was six times. No, wasn't it? Five times it was good, and once it was very good. And actually, it was interesting, the collect we had, I didn't know that was going to be the collect, but it talks about us being made in God's image, doesn't it? There's clearly a difference between all the rest of creation that God rejoices in and us, in whom he rejoices particularly. A very early theologian said this: the glory of God is a human being fully alive. What does that mean? And when are we fully alive? Well, that's what I want to look at next, if we go to our next slide, the God who rejoices over us. I'll start with Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan. A voice came from heaven: you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. My son, in whom I am well pleased. Remember, this is before Jesus had done anything. He hasn't been involved in his ministry at all yet. This is right at the outset. It offers us a vision, identity, and relationship. Those are two things that our world struggles a great deal with at the moment, doesn't it? How to define ourselves in terms of our identity and relationships. And yet God says, you're my son, and I am well pleased with you. There's that joy there, simply because of who you are. What an affirmation for Jesus. And yet you might say, but we're very different to Jesus. So often we fall short of our own expectations, let alone God's. That's why we tend to begin our services with confession. So what hope do we have of God rejoicing over us? And that's why you've got this picture up here. This is from the prodigal son story. Probably one of the most famous stories in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. New Testament, Luke chapter 15. I do know where it is. One of the most famous stories, and actually interestingly linked to the passage that we began with. It's the basis, of course, of so many good film plots, because a lot of the stories in the Bible are. You watch films and see whether you can think, oh, that looks like Jesus dying on the cross, but it's heavily disguised, or that looks like the prodigal son. They're the best stories because they come from the best source. Now, you probably know the prodigal son story. The son, the younger son, wants away from home. He wants the money that he could have from the family. He goes off, he squanders it, he ends up destitute. And he realizes that his only hope is to return home. And so he begins to make that journey. The father watches for him daily. We know that he must do that because he sees the sun coming a long way off. How else would he see him unless it was by luck? But you sense that Jesus is saying every day the Father went out there and thought, is he coming? Is he coming today? Because that's the Father's love and the Father's heart for his Son. He runs to greet him. He cuts short his mumbled repentance. And he organizes a welcome party, all of which, every single part of that, overturned the expectations of his community as to what was due that lad. This is Zechariah 3:17 enacted. One of the commentaries on that verse said this: God will rejoice over us like a jilted lover or an abandoned parent to whom the beloved has returned. Is that a beautiful picture? Why did Jesus tell this story? To show us what God is like. God knows us full well. He knows that we are prodigals. But he is a loving father who says, nevertheless, come home. God delights in all he has made, but he delights very much in every person he has made. And he wants to help us find our true identity and relationship in him. God says to you, won't you come home? So we go to our next slide, the God in whom we can find joy. Jesus provides the vital link whereby we can find the joy that he had in God. John 15 says this: as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be complete. Sorry, that's not right. I've missed out a bit. So that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. But how can we know this is true? And I have to say, this is where there's the rub. Because this is a truth that can only be experienced. What do I mean by that? Well, the picture that I've put up on the slide comes from a holiday a few years ago, in those olden days when we could go to France, 2008. And my daughter, who was 13, had a friend. We were camping with the family, and this friend wanted to do paragliding. And they came downstairs, and my daughter said, I want to do that as well. So this was while we were still at home. So the friend said, well, we said to our daughter, if you save up, you can do it. So I said, well, same rules. You save up, you can do it. Before the holiday, 60 quid. There you go, Dad, can I do it? Fine. But of course, you either are doing parapont or you're not doing parapont, aren't you? So you can learn all about it. You can go and sign in at the bottom, take the car journey up to the Col de Forclaz. You can start walking up the hill to the launch site. But until you run off the cliff, and that's what's involved, until you run down that slope and your little legs leave the ground, you are not doing parapont. So I had a quick chat to her on the way up. I said, hey, you all right? Go away. Philippe, still, yep, go away. Okay, fine. Teenager, best to back off. And but she did do it. She did do it. I saw her take off, and then I had to set off in the car to go and collect them from the landing site, which was some distance away. And did it bring her joy? Well, when I got to the bottom and picked her up, I said, what was it like? She said, wow. She said, can I do it again? Tomorrow. I went, no, 60 quid. You can't do it again. But it is the same with the Christian faith, isn't it? You cannot know what it is to know the joy of God unless you actually take that step and ask God into your life and go with him. When I was 22, I was a student, strongly atheist, Richard Dawkins-style atheist, science can explain everything, blah-de-blah. But then I had an overwhelming experience of God that I couldn't deny. and I decided then to give up my resistance and become a follower of Jesus. Did that transformation bring joy? Well, yes, it did. I'd had a good life. I'd enjoyed childhood, had a good family, education had gone fine, got a good degree, etc., etc. But for those of you who are old enough, and I can see there are quite a few heads in the room to whom this will make sense, I said, although my life was good, it was like going from black and white TV. You remember watching the football on black and white TV? For those of you watching in black and white, Leeds are playing in yellow. I still remember that quote. Really helpful. It was going from black and white TV to colour, because Jesus brings life in all its fullness and joy. I'm going to end with a prayer. This was a prayer that I found when I was looking around for stuff. It's from the US Civil War, a soldier's prayer. If we put the next slide up, I've put a little bit of it on there. But just a prayer for us to ponder about the joy and the depth of experience that God brings. I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing that I asked for, all that I hoped for. My prayer was answered. I am most blessed. Amen.